everybody. Cal Banyan back with another episode of Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. And I'm continuing the theme that I started in last podcast. Got the sunglasses on. I got my leather jacket. No, not my. I took off the jacket. I just got the vest and kind of taking the hardcore look at hypnosis for these few episodes, talking about one percenters. I want you to become a one percenter hypnotherapist, hypnotist, because I want you to be best of the best in the profession. I don't want it to just be a hobby for you unless, you know, that's what you want. If you want to move forward in the profession and really help the most people, then you need to be a one percenter. What's a one percenter? They're not someone that just does it on weekends. They walk the walk. They can provide themselves a great income by just doing hypnotherapy. Hey, let me tell you about my... Wait, before I do that, as you know, I just got back a little bit ago from Malaysia and Singapore, and I'm so glad. Once again, I want to thank L. Ron, Meredith, and Celeste for carrying the ball or rolling the ball along or carrying the weight or keeping these episodes going while I was gone. And if you're watching these episodes anywhere except calbanyan.com, you want to go there right now, because right below this video, we have all kinds of supporting information, links, graphics to support what we talk about in this episode. Let me introduce to you L. Ron Ferguson. L. Ron Ferguson is one of those hypno one percenters. He's among the best of the best in the profession. He was trained before he came to our center. Then he came to our center, did the Week of Power. And then he got hooked on the hardcore hypnosis that we do here at the Banyan Hypnosis Center. And I want to tell you, he helps me train, do some of the training. Last training, I think he taught some of the instant induction work, and I just kind of spring it on him. I say, go up there and teach him the 8-word induction. And you know what? The man's got guts. You know, that's one of the main things that make the difference between the 99 percenters and the 1 percenters is having guts to do the work. Well, he's got the guts to do the work, he's got the guts to do the training, and I'm proud to have him, along with Meredith, co-hosting this program. How you doing there, L. Ron?
I'm doing good, Cal. You know, I never get hot tired of hearing this introduction that you give me. Every time, it's kind of... I believe it a little bit more. Thanks, Cal.
You're
welcome. And I got to tell you, I mean, I owe you a lot. I owe you most of my success with my clients when they come to the office. I mean, there's different points when I'm with a client, and I'm thinking, what would Cal do in this situation? And it's those instances when, after the session, I really realize, wow, I couldn't have done it without you. I mean, for those of you that don't know who Cal is, he came up with 5-Path, synthesized it. You know, what I have to say about Cal more than anything else is, he really walks his talk with hypnosis, and as a hypnotherapist, he's one of the best clinicians in the world, and having Cal as a model for success has just really made all the difference for me. So thanks, Cal.
You're welcome very much. Hey, you know what we're going to do this episode?
What?
We're going to talk about giving our clients homework.
All right.
Hey, you know, everybody loves homework, right?
Yeah, I'd be interested to know about that, Cal.
Well, let me tell you what. You hear me say it. One of my Banyanisms is people only value what they put time, money, and effort into. And by having your clients do some things in between sessions, you're really helping them to do a number of different things. One, they're going to value the work that they're doing with you. Two, that's going to help bring the work that you do with them in your hour or 2 hours, without, however long your particular sessions are with the client, once a week, and help bring it into their awareness all week long. And it can add to the experience by teaching them some things that you don't have time to teach them in individual sessions. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about this idea of giving them homework, and then you can just kind of add to each item as I go through. Is that okay with you, L. Ron?
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, what we want to do is really, it's all about the client. It's all about having the client be more successful, being a client that's just so happy with what you do with them, that they're out telling their friends, they're out telling their neighbors, they're out telling their family, and with that, you're not only do they do well, but your hypnosis practice prosperous. The very best marketing you can do is getting excellent results for your clients. So here's some things that I do with my clients to keep them working in between sessions. One is teach them self-hypnosis. We teach in 99.99% of the cases, 7-pass self-hypnosis. You heard me talk about that in the last episode, talk about it from time to time. It's a mind-body-spirit approach to doing hypnosis. I'm wondering, Elron, can you talk a little bit about how you integrate 7-path into your regular 5-path sessions?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, depending on whether or not it's appropriate with the client, which about 75% of the time it is, you really want to make the case that this is something that you can do in between sessions, and it's also something that you can have after you leave. And the point that I like to get across more than anything else is it's like a hygiene. Okay, because we refer to 5-path here as the bulldozer, where, you know, they're coming in, they're sitting in the chair, they're working with you, you're bulldozing through a lot of old negative programs and really restoring them and kind of giving them a quick update. And that 7-path self-hypnosis is like the shovel and the broom. It's that daily maintenance. It's like brushing your teeth on a subconscious level. So that's what I like to get across to them and get them on board. And I also like to really ascertain if I think that they're the type of person that's going to even begin to have the discipline to do that sort of thing. And you can usually fish that out right there in the beginning if they're kind of nodding their eyes and they're looking like a deer in the headlights. You want to gauge their involvement right there and try to squeeze that little bit extra out of them and try to get them to commit and see where they stand. And really, like I said, build the case that this is something that's going to help you. It's going to just take a little bit extra of each session to be able to give you some of these suggestions and to teach you how to do it. But the biggest concept to convey is that you're going to get out what you put into it. And since you're coming down here and you're laying down a bunch of money, you might as well give yourself a gift during the week to reinforce all the change that we've done here. Because after all, it's not just magic. It's not something that you come and sit down here passively. Of course, the work that we do is very thorough and involving and therapeutic, but also you want to take that momentum and build it yourself during the week so you can come back in next session with some momentum that you've generated for yourself that blasts off of the momentum that I helped you create in the office.
Exactly. And you know, even on top of all of that, I mean, any kind of self-hypnosis would do that. But 7-path self-hypnosis, being the mind-body-spirit approach that it is, it's also very provocative. It's the very first hypnosis, self-hypnosis technique that is insight-oriented and really works on the emotional quality of whatever the issue is. And so when the client comes back in for the next session, you can say, how's it been going with your 7-path? And they will start talking about emotions that have been coming up, insights that they've gained, and that information can be very, very valuable in the sessions that you're going to have. Anything you can add to that, Elron?
It's just important to get them to talk about their experiences. And more than anything else, the thing I like to convey is, of course, whatever experience they have while doing 7-path is perfect. And it's an incredibly simple technique in certain respects, because the concepts that we're working with work with how the mind already works, but people will come back week after week and have a lot of questions, and so it's really important to make sure that those questions are put to rest and make sure that they're doing it correctly and doing the technique correctly.
Excellent. Anything else you want to say about 7-path before I move on to the next homework assignment?
That's it.
All right. Hey, if you guys want to know more about 7-path, you can go to www.the7thpath.com. That's, well, it's probably showing right up here on the screen. All right. Now, there's other things that we can have them do, which, they're watching television anyway. If you're aware of different kinds of television programs that would reinforce the kind of thing that you're working with. For example, if you're working with weight loss and you have a program in mind that might be of interest or help support or motivate or energize the person you're working with, then, and for example, The Biggest Loser, I think, is a really motivational program as far as building belief, getting people excited about losing weight. I mean, every week those people are losing weight, and you can just see them transform before your eyes. And so television programs, you're going to find very low resistance to getting people to watch TV in most cases, and it can be a valuable tool. How about you, L. Ron? Anything you can say about that?
Actually, I think it all covers it, just with The Biggest Loser right there. There was one program out of the UK, but I can't remember what it was. Maybe I'll help that get posted down underneath after this podcast.
Okay, when you think of it, just go to calbanion.com and post it in the notes. Hey, how about books? You know, there's lots of books on different topics. If you've read a book that you think would benefit your client, you can ask. I suggest that you approach it to them this way. You say to your client, do you like to read? Because if they don't like to read, then suggesting that they read a book is going to diminish your effectiveness. So you say, do you like to read? And if they say yes, then you have the door open to suggesting a book. If they say, I'm not really much of a reader, you say, well, that's okay. How about magazines? And then just go on to the next thing that I'm going to suggest, because most people who don't really are book readers will read magazines. So books, at our center, we give our clients who like to read and are doing one of the too much behaviors, eating too much, drinking too much, smoking too much, that kind of thing, the Secret Language of Feelings book. And you can find out more about that at www.thesecretlanguageoffeelings.com. And it really helps people to understand what's motivating them to do the too much behaviors from the emotional point of view. An interesting thing, just before we did the podcast, a client came in and said, can I buy another Secret Language of Feelings book? And so that person's coming in and buying it for a friend or family member. All right. How about you, Elrod? Have you used books as homework in your sessions?
Absolutely. I mean, the Secret Language of Feelings is, of course, my number one recommendation for clients to look at. But sometimes they may be more into self-development and that sort of thing, in which case I'll recommend them some people that I like Tony Robbins and authors of that nature. But something that I've had to keep in mind that I do believe that I learned the hard way back in the day was that you really have to have the mindset of what does my client actually need as a book, and not just what do I think a great book is. Okay, because sometimes it may be your favorite book, but not necessarily appropriate for the client. But depending on what I think will actually help them get a good concept, I recommend books based on that. Like recently, I've been recommending this book called Predictably Irrational, The Hidden Forces That Shape Our Behavior, just to kind of give people a little bit of an idea about the decision-making process that they make up from day to day, and really get in touch with what they really want when they make their decisions. But of course, there's only a certain type of client that's going to even be interested in a book like that. So you just really have to be careful.
Yeah, one of the things I like you said there was that it's not about you, it's about the client, and really thinking about what kind of tools would benefit the client. Good. The next thing that I will recommend from time to time as homework is reading magazines, as I just mentioned. And some really motivational magazines could be, for example, for weight loss and fitness, be fitness magazines. And here's one you might not have thought about in the past, and that is if you're working with a female client, things like wedding magazines, because they have all these pictures, of beautiful ladies in their gowns, and especially if they have obviously a wedding coming up, or if they're going to be in a wedding, or if they're going to a wedding, that can be very motivational. Things like GQ magazine, travel magazine, where they're going to a beautiful place where they might be sun tanning or in a swimming pool or that surfing, that kind of thing. How about you, L. Ron? Any magazines come to mind?
Not really. Not off the top of my head, no.
Okay.
You covered it.
I'm going to let L. Ron a little bit off the hook, and that is that he did not know we were going to have this topic 20 minutes ago. So I've had some topics ready. He's got some questions ready. We're going to get through this list of homework assignments, and then he's going to shine by asking me one or two really really good questions.
If we have the time. Maybe I'll ask you next episode. We're on 16 minutes.
Okay. Well, let's see. What's next? What's next is support groups created by yourself or for others, and or by others. And that is online support groups such as on Facebook, such as Yahoo, many kinds of support groups for just about every kind of human personal change you'd want. Even meetup.com are places where people can get plugged in. And of course, if it's a specialty of yours, be it weight loss or working with addictions or sports, feel free to start your own group and meeting with the group online or in person. This is going to be a really great in-between session activity. Anything you want to add to that, Elron?
Just that meetup.com is a fantastic place to start your own meetups. I mean, you can do things that are cooperative with other people, get to other people with similar interests. You can lead your own thing. I mean, the real beauty of meetup.com doesn't even really shine unless you live in a big metropolitan area, which is, you know, the options that you have are just really unlimited for personal growth or entertainment purposes. So I highly recommend that and support you.
Beautiful. Yeah, of course, if you're in a town of 103, you know, obviously it's not going to be quite as good. Good job. All right, CDs, movies, DVDs. Listening to hypnosis CDs obviously is a good way to reinforce and have them work on something. It might be lots of hypnotists do this. I don't do this. But having someone coming in for a particular, like, stop smoking sessions and listening to a CD in between sessions. Movies that are inspirational. I remember, you know, it could be something as simple as Rocky, you know, anything where they're overcoming some kind of problem. If it's fitness, then Rocky. Or here's a little note. I'm not much for comedies, but a comedy that I really enjoyed was, I think the name of it was Don't Tell Her It's Me. And it's about this fellow who was kind of a dumpling of a man, and he was sick, and he got well, and he got himself in shape, and he got himself a motorcycle, and he charmed this gal, and she didn't really realize that he was that one-time soft, sick fellow. So how about you, Elron? Any kind of sources of video, either movies or any online or DVDs?
Stuff like that? Absolutely. I mean, what I like to do is refer people to different motivational speeches that I appreciate at TED.com, TED.com. It's this worldwide conference where people come together and talk about ideas, and you have incredible presentations on there about a number of topics that are very inspirational, very progressive. They talk about technology. They talk about you know, just advancements that are being made in the fields of psychology and art. And just a lot of really good inspirational speeches there that are about 20 minutes long each. Sometimes I like to either forward my clients an email of that from time to time or send them there. As well as, I mean, there's other sites that are just great to look at for, you know, helping people build self-esteem. There's free self-esteem online courses that you can have people enroll in from here or there that, you know, give them, like, a weekly or every 3 days something to do to learn how to build their self-esteem. Because after all, sometimes learning how to build your self-esteem and to keep it strong is a skill that you need to learn, as well as the garbage that you need to clear out in session. So there's a lot of great online resources out there, and doing your research is really important.
Beautiful. Hey, Elron, will you give Taylor some links besides TED.com, if you know any? And we'll put them all right down there below this video on calbanion.com. All right. Hey, do you have, that's pretty much my list. Is there anything else you want to add to good homework ideas?
Sometimes what I like to do is give them a few 3x5 cards to look at based on their insights in the session. You know, maybe things they said, empowering statements that came out of their mouth, such as when we're doing insight-oriented techniques. I have them put an ending on the phrase of, I've changed because now I know, dot, dot, dot. And whatever they say sometimes, if I think that it's appropriate, I'll put that down on a 3x5 card, or just whatever positive things that really are uncovered in session, worked on, suggestions that you think they need based on what their benefits form was. You can put those in a progressive phrase on a on a 3x5 card and tell them to go home, look at themselves in the mirror and read it in the morning and at night. I'd like to tell them, hey, there's this magic half hour before you go to bed where the suggestions that you say to yourself and the thoughts you think are going to go in at the deeper subconscious level, and you're really realizing that everything in your environment is programming. So it's just something nice to do. I got it from my old training. I haven't done it very often. But I'm kind of experimenting with it a little bit and getting back into it again because, after all, when you clear out the garbage, they have the fresh soil to plant those new seeds. And sometimes you need to maybe give them some blank 3x5 cards and say, hey, why don't you go write yourself something nice about you and read it a couple times throughout the day. You know, this is your homework.
So, awesome.
Playing with that.
Good work. Hey, do you have, I think that kind of wraps up that topic. I'm wondering if you have a quick question we can cover, because I've, you know, been out there on Facebook. I said send in questions, and we, of course, every episode we say send in your questions. I wonder if you have one that we could cover real quick.
I don't really know if I have a quick one, and we are running on 22 minutes. Do you want me to give it to you anyway?
Let's see what we can do.
Okay. I have a question that, well, how about this, Cal? Someone was wondering about, let's say, when we're doing, losing the numbers, okay, when we're making a client test for level four, we're doing an exercise, we're having them lose the numbers, doing an Elman banding induction. There might be a link down there if you guys have checked that out. Sometimes what you do is you press on the shoulder as you're deepening a client, right? This hypnotherapist, Richard, he's got a question about, he thinks that you're establishing an anchor there. He goes, my question about what you do with that relaxation anchor after establishing it is, are there any times during a session when you would want to deliberately return to that anchor again? Like during an AR, for example, when the client is getting a little resistant? Or could any of you explain how or even if you use anchoring techniques during 5-Path?
Excellent question. So this fellow's been watching my videos, and he notices that when I'm working with a client, then it could be in the losing the numbers part of the Elman-Banyan induction, or other times I'm counting, I will lightly press down on the shoulder as I say the words, deeper, relaxed. Now, this word anchoring is actually a rather new word in the profession, and it really belongs to NLP. What hypnotists have been doing this for a long, long time, way before NLP came out. And what it is a physical suggestion. Now, Dr. Ivan Pavlov showed that when we do things in time, remember, he's the fellow who rung the bell and caused the dog to salivate by pairing things together in time, called classical conditioning. In hypnosis, we're more suggestible, and so we are more easily conditionable. And when we do physical suggestions like pushing down on the shoulder as we say, deeper, relaxed, then what we're doing is we're pairing that verbal suggestion and, more importantly, the response of relaxing with that physical pressing down on the shoulder. Now, as you continue to do that in the session, that whenever you say the words deeper, relaxed, or some similar suggestion for physical relaxation and press on the shoulder, then really what happens is you're compounding this physical suggestion. Now, compounding is not really well understood in the profession. Compounding is the strengthening of a suggestion because the client experienced the phenomenon suggested. So when you say deeper relaxed and they go deeper relaxed, then the experiencing of going deeper relaxed makes the both verbal suggestion and the physical suggestion more powerful because of that compounding. Then at any time I want, I can use that either just physical or verbal and physical suggestion at the same time and much more powerfully. But also, I could be giving them suggestions for other things like, you know, I'd like you to move forward, let's say move backward to a time when you're feeling very confident. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, be there and push down on their shoulder. And they're now going to a time where they are being confident and without having to say it, the person experienced some further relaxation. So it becomes another tool in the hypnotist's toolbox of this physical conditioning or physical suggestion, which in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, is called anchoring. And it can be used at any time. If someone becomes emotional or stressed out or fearful when you don't want them to be in the session, then you can simply give them the suggestion their attention goes to their breathing or to the feeling of the chair pressing up into their back and then press down on their shoulder and say, go deeper, relaxed. And it just becomes a more powerful way of making the suggestion. So in summary, what we're doing is we're creating a physical suggestion. People classically condition much more quickly in hypnosis, and then we make our verbal suggestions for relaxation or anything, really. It could be for a feeling of confidence and then give them a different physical thing to do. For example, they might make a fist and feel confident, make a fist and feel confident, take them back to a time in their life where they were feeling confident, have them make a fist or have them rub their fingers together like this. And what happens is the physical action or physical sensation becomes associated in the subconscious and unconscious mind with that either emotion or state of thinking of mind or in the body. How's that, Elron?
That's pretty awesome, Cal. I've been taking notes.
Good. How are we doing on time?
We're done.
All right, man. Wrap it up.
Well, if you want to learn more about how to do this, I strongly recommend you look at hypnosiscenter.com. There's a training schedule there, as well as hypnosis.org for links to products, specials, things of that nature. Facebook.com/hypnosis, etc. You can follow us there and ask questions. On all these different sites, there's links to many different sites where you can learn more and get involved. Be a one percenter. Elron Ferguson, signing off.
That's right. Be a one percenter. Go out there. Be the best of the best. Follow me on facebook.com/HYPNOSISETC. That's the fan page for this program. You get all the inside scoop of what we're doing, what we're about to do, and get in on conversation. Also, twitter.com/Cal Banyan, all one word. Check out our websites. Know about my training is coming up, and March 1st for the entire certification course, and then we have one in May for the Week of Power, which is the skill building and confidence building course. That's it. Cal Banyan. Signing out. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved for private use only. It may not be duplicated without written permission.